Okay, at 3:19 p.m. we are calling the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order for Wednesday, March 1st. Welcome to March. Please turn off your cell phones or silence them. Members present, Representative Stutes, Vice Chair Wool, Representative Josephson, and myself, Chair Quito. We'll keep an eye out for other members. And our we do have a quorum to conduct business. Support staff today, Caitlin Ellis. Thank you, Caitlin. And Summers Cole. Thank you, Summers. And today we have three bills before us. House Bill 121, Occupational Health and Safety Civil Penalties. House Bill 114, Boiler Pressure Vessel Inspection Reports. House Bill 90, Occupational Licensing Fees Investigation Costs. We do intend to move all of them. And we will begin with House Bill 121. So, I guess House Bill 121, Occupational Safety and Health Civil Penalties, brings us into compliance with federal OSHA law and will allow the department to promulgate regulations as needed in order to meet federal requirements so we don't risk losing our Alaska Occupational Health and Safety Office. Do we have any questions from members of the committee about House Bill 121? Do we have any members of the public wanting to testify on House Bill 121? I don't have anybody online wanting to testify for House Bill 121. We'll close public testimony. That brings the bill before us. Any committee discussion on House Bill 121? Any questions for the department? No. Can I entertain a motion?
I move HB 21 version 30-LS
121. 121. You said 21?
I thought I said I'll start over. I move HB 121 version 30-LS0362-O be passed from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Any objections to moving House Bill 121? Seeing no objections, House Bill 121 moves from committee. I will take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. Thank you. We are back on the record. House Labor and Commerce, March 1st, Wednesday, 2017. We have been joined by Representative Gary Knott. Thank you, Gary, for being here. Next bill up on the calendar is House Bill 114, Boiler and Pressure Vessel Inspection Reports. And we have public testimony open. I don't have anyone online. Do we have anyone in the office who wants to testify on House Bill 114, Boiler and Pressure Vessel Inspection Reports? I don't see anyone wanting to testify. I will close public testimony on House Bill 114. That brings House Bill 114 back before us in committee. Do we have any comments or questions? We do have the department available to answer questions on the boiler and pressure vessel inspection reports legislation. And seeing no questions or comments, I would entertain a motion. Representative Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move HB 114 version 30-LS0361-D be passed from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Okay, are there any objections to moving House Bill 114 from committee? Seeing no objections, House Bill 114 moves from committee, and we will take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We are back on the record, the House Labor and Commerce, March 1st, 2017. We do now have House Bill 90 coming back before the committee. We've heard this bill before. If we can have my staff, for Crystal Kieneman, come forward and provide a brief presentation of where we're at on House Bill 90. And for the record, we also have Angela Burt, Chief Investigator, Professional Licensing with Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, available for questions in Anchorage. And we have Janie Hovenden here in the room. So, Ms. Kieneman, if you can provide your brief presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Crystal Kieneman, staff to Representative Quito. House Bill 90 proposes to spread the total investigation surcharge across all licensees, regardless of profession. This new investigative surcharge would be in lieu of the current amount that the licensees pay in their overall license fee. This bill would have no impact on boards running deficits. Those boards will still be required to pay off that deficit. Additionally, I want to make it clear that in conversations with the department that they have stated that this will not have any impact on the investigations. They will not go out and do more investigations than they are currently doing, as well as this will have no diminishment of service for them. And, Mr. Chairman, I'm available for questions. The department is also here to answer any questions as well.
Thank you, Ms. Kieneman. We do have a question from Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Through the chair, for Ms. Kieneman. Ms. Kieneman, how does the administration feel about this bill, or what does it feel?
I would defer, instead of putting words in the department.
Representative Josephson, I think I will bring Ms. Hovenden up to the table. Can you please place your name and affiliation on the record? Oh, and before we move any further, we have been joined by Representative Birch during the previous at ease. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Janie Hovenden. I'm the Division Director for Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. The administration doesn't have a position on this. However, a number of the boards have, over the years, weighed in and have long awaited a solution to the volatility of those investigative costs. And I think that there are a couple of letters of support. I don't know if more will come in or not, but I know that the boards are weighing in when they can, when they meet, and meet as a unit, they can reply or put on record their position.
Thank you, Ms. Hovenden. Follow-up, Representative Josephson.
I think really for Ms. Kieneman. Ms. Kieneman, is this the grand solution that we've been looking for, and is that what this bill is?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, I hope so. I've been working on this issue for the last 7 years. Just 7 years. Okay. In my history, I know... concurrently, Representative Quito has also been looking into this issue, trying to find a way to solve this issue. There have been many different proposals over the year, some utilizing general fund. However, understanding the fiscal situation that we're in right now, that's not exactly palatable. So I hope so.
Thank you, Ms. Kieneman. Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I have more of a comment than a question, and I'm going to support it, and I'm going to support it mainly because, having had exposure to boards that have had difficulties, and let's face it, the department has had their issues in keeping track of these boards and doing the appropriate accounting.
Yes, ma'am.
And a proper accounting, and that was a history, so I'm not trying to cast any dispersions currently. That was previously... My thought is this may be a wider overview, so things won't go so far before they're brought back around. So I think this may just well serve the purpose that we're all looking for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Stutes. And I would like to notice that we have also been joined by Representative Sullivan Leonard. Thank you. We have a full committee now. Any further questions on House Bill 90 for the department or for myself or Ms. Kieneman? Representative Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we look at the growth and the cost of the, I think I was struck earlier by the fact that we have 16 assigned investigators, across the spectrum. But if I look at your biennial budget, 10-11 was $6.8 million. 12-13 was up to $7.5 million. I think the 14-15 is up to 8.3, and then looking at the 16-17, it looks like it's going to be in excess of 9. If you double that up, so it seemed like a fairly significant amount of growth there. How are those investigations? It seemed like the primary cost driver is the investigation work that's being done, and how, I guess I'm kind of curious as to how are those investigators managed. I mean, how do you you know, hopefully get to a point where you don't need any investigators, where everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. But how are those the investigation personnel, how are they managed on a day-to-day basis, through the chair?
So probably from Ms. Sevenham.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Burt, Angela Burt is online, and I believe she's the best person to answer that question for you.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Burt, can you place your name and affiliation on the record and answer Representative Burt's question?
Certainly, sir. My name is Angela Burt. It's B-I-R-T, and I am the Chief Investigator for Professional Licensing with the Department of Commerce. And I appreciate the opportunity to address your concern about the way that investigative staff is managed. Through the chair, Representative Birch, we engage in positive timekeeping. We support 43 licensed professions, which have 21 sitting boards. The information, we're currently at 22 investigative staff. Two more were added last year under SB 74. And we have some staff that are dedicated to certain programs because there's enough workload for them to only work on those programs. And the other staff works on an as-needed basis when we need to surge in certain areas. For instance, when we have biennial license renewals, we have a lot of applications that need to be reviewed because by statute, any yes answer to a professional fitness question has to come to investigations for an investigative review. I, like you, would prefer it that, you know, we get to a point where people do not have to endure investigations, but unfortunately we do have some consumers that have bad experiences, and the investigative staff provides them with an opportunity to redress those and talk with both sides to determine whether or not a violation of the law has occurred. We positive timekeep to the quarter hour, charging that program that we are working on the time that's spent supporting them. Some programs have very little cost, and some programs have great cost. So I hope that addresses your question, sir.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it does in part. Thank you very, very much, Ms. Burt. I guess one of the, looking at trying to, cost causer, cost payer, if you will, in allocating that, and I didn't realize I think the last time we looked at it, it was 16 assigned staff, and I see it's up to 22. How are these public complaints? I mean, are we responding to, some guy calls up and said he wasn't treated right on an acupuncture circumstance, or got a bad haircut, or some sort of a problem with a barber and a hairdresser. I mean, how do you direct your energy and effort in responding to a criticism or initiating an investigation?
Through the chair, Representative Birch, the primary driver that we have is consumer complaints. We triage those based on the severity of the complaint and the potential for public harm. So there are some instances where we've had doctors who have overprescribed patients and potentially placed people at risk, and those are high visibility, high priority investigations. There are also complaints that are driven by dissatisfaction with customers, in which instances we investigate and oftentimes find that there hasn't been a violation of the law. For instance, if you contract to come up here and go big game hunting and you don't get a sheep, that doesn't necessarily mean that your guide's done anything wrong. But when we receive the complaint, we do need to look into it. We do need to solicit the input from the person who's licensed and ask them what happened. And that does take time and effort on the investigators to collect all the materials in order to provide a full and fair inquiry. In many instances involving the healthcare professions, we have to collect medical records before, during, and after treatments to determine whether or not the treatment was appropriate. So the most common types of complaints we get are consumer complaints. We do get some complaints from facilities who have let licensed staff go because of either a substance abuse problem or a behavioral disorder or a behavioral problem, or a mental instability that doesn't allow them to practice safely. And those types of complaints are usually our highest priority. There are a number of other complaints that come in from the licensing staff when individuals apply for licensure or renew licenses that are predicated on inconsistencies in their applications, either falsified applications or materials that are not complete. And in order to be able to make the best decision about whether or not a person is safe to practice in Alaska and should be given a license, the boards rely on us to collect the information to make their decisions based on.
Thank you, ma'am. Follow-up. Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you for the additional information. Do you then, you know, kind of chart, or when a complaint comes in, do you look at your 43 different professions and 21 sitting boards, and do you, like, you know, put in, you know, check the box and say, well, this is another complaint on, you know, the pawnbrokers or the optometry department or the nursing department, or do you allocate each one of those complaints? And I was kind of curious as to where the bulk of your resources are going. You'd mentioned consumer complaints, but I just curious as to how that's allocated.
Through the chair, Representative Birch, the primary drivers of our complaints are based on the licensee base. So we have some professions that are very, very, there's a lot of licensees. Like there's over 16,000 licensees that are practicing nurses, whether they're registered nurses, licensed practical nurses, certified nurse assistants, advanced nurse practitioners. That's a large portion. It's probably about a third of the licensed professionals in the state. And there are two investigative personnel dedicated to that program because there is so much volume coming in. And then there are other investigators that may have responsibility for up to 10 programs because they are a small licensing base, and they're a very disciplined licensing base. And I know you mentioned optometrists and a couple of other ones. We get very few complaints from some sectors. Mm-hmm. And then we get a lot of complaints from other sectors. We also have some sectors that are extremely litigious. So we have less opportunity to resolve these without going into a hearing, which increases cost.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Justison.
Yes, thank you, through the chair. You're admin director, is that right?
I'm the division director.
Division director, the director, my apologies. The number on the spreadsheet for scheduled revenues and expenditures from last fall that we were given, so it's dated October 27th of last year, it shows mm-hmm. a budget of about $11 million, and I think I see the answer is obvious. Almost all of this is from the licensees themselves. So we see an increase in the budget, but it's all sort of self-funded, except for this $12,000, right?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, that's correct.
Okay. And follow up. The number of licensees has grown in the last 6-7 years by 20,000, and it strikes me that that's generally to the good, that number one, people have asked to be licensed, that there's probably more money in the economy, people are getting insurance claims filed more easily, there's more confidence in each industry. Are all those things likely true?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, that is correct. We've had a couple of additional licensing programs as well as seeing an increase in our existing programs of licensees. I don't have the exact statistic, but that's correct.
Thank you. I don't have anything else.
Thank you. Any further questions for Ms. Kienemann or Representative Wohl?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this could go to either of you, I suppose. I'm just looking through the table here of all the different groups that are licensed groups, and looking at the new estimated surcharge for investigative costs is $55, which seems like a pretty good deal. Some would be taking an increase, but even if you were at a dollar, it would only be a $54 increase. And some are getting a big savings. And, of course, the midwives comes to mind, and I see some of them here. And we had hearings with their group and saw that their licensing fee went up to $3,800. And that now the investigative portion will be 55, and I understand there's old debt that needs to be paid off. And I guess my question is, well, for example, the cost per licensee of their previous investigative cost was $639, or if I look down the page, the naturopaths was $776. So pretty similar. Both these groups have roughly the same amount of licensees and roughly the same amount of cost per licensee. I think I know the answer, but is the reason that their fee is so high, especially, say, compared to naturopaths, who running about the same numbers, is that just due to the old debt?
Representative Will, through the chair, it's due to two parts. One is old debt, paying it off, from those investigations. Additionally, there are so few numbers of licensees that in order to spread those costs among them, it's going to result in a higher fee.
Follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, would spreading out the costs, so now let's say everyone pays $55 as an investigative charge in addition to whatever licensing fees they have within their group. Would this encourage more investigation since no group is going to have to pay any more? Like in the past, it may be an incentive for a group to really keep an eye on its members, since if there's an investigation, they could be charged for it. Now, if the charge is spread out amongst, I don't know, what, the 70,000, I forget.
74,000.
74,000 people. That there may be, you know, maybe more investigations or within each group they might not worry so much if there is an investigation.
Representative Wolf, through the chair, I don't see that the fact that there is a flat fee for investigations would impact more or less investigations. And in many ways, it shouldn't. I don't think the cost of an investigation should impact whether or not an investigation is pursued. And I don't, so I guess in an answer to your question, I don't see it impacting the validity of an investigation or not.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
So, Representative Wool, I think one of the things that you might be concerned about is whether or not changing the funding methodology for the investigations is going to change whether or not more or less investigations get started. And I think there is a kind of a firewall. Really, the investigations are promulgated or started by complaints from individuals or complaints from members of those boards. I don't see how changing this is going to affect either of those activities.
Okay, fair enough.
Any further questions for Ms. Hovenden, Ms. Kieneman? Questions for the Chief Investigator, Ms. Burt? Thank you again. And without any other questions, committee discussion on House Bill 90? No questions or comments. I would entertain a motion, Representative Wolf.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Knapp.
Thank you. So, you know, I just hate to be the naysayer in the room, but it's not a bill I like. I think I just heard her say that all investigations should be pursued regardless of cost. And so, you know, there's, again, I guess probably philosophical, but so when people advocate to create a board to regulate their industry, and then we start getting into these excessive investigative costs and how do we control them. So, you know, the creation of the boards were done for just that. And so when you start spreading these costs around and there's, I will just say, no responsibility that you can put on any one board, how does the board continue to want to control its activities and its cost when there's, you know, there's no incentive in there for them to do it when you spread these costs around? As you go through your chart, you see investigative costs for different professions run all over the markets, all over the rampant. So, you know, for me, I, you know, it's, I think the spread the cost is not the appropriate way to go. I think an individualized responsibility through the boards and what they're regulating and how they're regulating it is probably, I realize you're trying to fix a problem. I don't think this is, I think at some point this will boil back up, and I don't think it will fix the problem. I think you better fix to let the boards continue to have them discussions about how do we control our cost, and I think that's the only true way you're ever going to do that. All you're doing right now is just sharing cost. You're not fixing anything, I guess. So I'm not comfortable with the bill, and I just want to put that out there for the record. So,
all right. Thank you. Appreciate your comments, Representative Knopp. And actually, we do still have public testimony open, and I just wanted to make an offer to, I don't see anyone online, but if there's anyone in the room that wants to provide additional comments on House Bill 90, you're welcome to step forward and provide your comments at this time. So seeing no one, the bill is back before us, and I will close public testimony. And Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make a comment in partial response to Representative Knopp, and I do understand your point that you're making. With regards to investigative costs, there's also the cost of pursuing non-members, and again, the massage board comes to mind. If there's an investigation to a licensee, then the responsible people have to absorb a large amount of that cost, and so that's also an issue that this will help resolve to some extent, unless that issue comes up later as to who pays for non-licensees. But at this moment, that would be dispersed as well, I think. So,
thank you, Representative Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, as it relates to massage therapy, I think they had a 756 licensees, and the average cost, they only spent $879 on an investigation of 1415, so it works out to about $1 per person. And I agree with my good friend from Kenai. I kind of like the cost causer, cost payer model. I look in here and I see euthanasia permits. I didn't even know they existed, but apparently there's 10 euthanasia licensees. I want to know who those they are and if there's any in this room, because I want to make sure find out who they're following around. But there's a $622 cost per licensee for the euthanasia permits, and a $6,000 and I'm okay with people, if you get a permit and there's a $6,000 charge, I'm okay with that, because it seems like it's a cost causer, cost payer. So I kind of like the system. It's pretty well mapped out here. You can kind of see what's going on. If it's very expensive to investigate guides, hunting guides, and it's $1,700, or it's 1,700 licensees, and it costs $500,000 or $600,000 for investigation, works out to $300 a license for the guides. I'm good with that. If that's what it costs. So anyway, that's my view on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your comment. Appreciate your comment too, Representative Knopp. And I guess the issue that I was trying to resolve in looking at this bill was really to try and address that investigations aren't equitable across boards. Yeah. And that the disparity that we've seen recently has been that some of the boards with fewer members end up with higher obligations for costs, and some of the boards with larger numbers of members ended up with lower investigation costs, yet we are still asking the department to provide the same amount of safety or security for all of the boards. And so it did seem to me worthwhile to try and spread those costs out among the professions, because those investigators at one point or another presumably would be available to support all of the boards. So Representative Justin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to support the bill. It's not a perfect solution. It's not, I don't think it's designed to be perfect. But, part of the reason I'm comfortable with this bill is it's $55. And I think that $55 is well spent when it's a form of insurance, because anybody's board and sort of membership and license could be subject to hikes, and because of bad actors. And this is a way to sort of tamp down on that. So I think it's a victory for 75,000 people in that respect. And I just, I don't know. I think that we've been looking for a solution for apparently 7 years. I've been here for four of those. Sat in LBNA for meeting after meeting talking about this, and no one, I don't know where we were that day, sort of intellectually, but no one had devised anything like this. And I just think that it's unfair to say that one agency, or rather one discipline, should be subject to massive fees and licensure expenses when there's this solution at hand. So I'm going to be supporting it.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Representative Josephson?
I think you met me, but that's fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Quito. I move HB 90 version 30-LS0022/D to be passed from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
So any objections to moving House Bill 90 from committee? No objections?
As a joke.
Okay, we will take a vote if our secretary can read the roll.
Representative Knopf?
No.
Representative Sullivan Leonard?
No.
Representative Stutz?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
Representative Wohl?
Yes.
Representative Birch?
No.
Chair Quito?
Yes.
Four yeas, three nays.
So with that, House Bill 90 moves from committee. We will actually, if you can stick around, I will go ahead and adjourn our meeting for the day, and we will finish the paperwork after the meeting. So I will adjourn House Labor and Commerce for Wednesday, March 1st at 3:53 p.m. Thank you.